Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
Our King, He is the same. Yesterday, you might get excited about this, today and forever. He never changes. His Word is unchangeable. His Holy Spirit is powerful and undeniable. Things don't change. The challenge to you and I, to be salt and light. I have come to this conclusion that the only thing that we can do to change planet Earth is present a living Savior to this dying, messed up, complicated world. It's crazy. Mark Evans and I have sworn off things like Twitter. It's a septic tank. Your opinions aren't changing anything. They're just making you an angry human being. So get out of there and share Jesus with people. Start being kind. You know, the mission of the church, it hasn't changed. In Luke chapter 9 and 10, it's a great narrative. We're not going to park there, but we're going to launch from there. Jesus sent out followers to go throughout the cities, their city. And he said, and wherever you go, preach the kingdom, heal the sick, set people free, do all kinds of things. Be kind, have meals with people, build great relationships. But he gives them one very clear instruction. I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Luke chapter 10, verse 11. He says, when you go to some places and the reactions and the responses aren't right. I love this challenge. Even the dust of that town, you say this. Say it out loud, he said. You say, even the dust of your town, we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. But be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near you. Jesus said, there are some things you just need to wipe off. Wipe it off. Shake it off, scrape it off, whatever you need to do, but don't let things influence you. I'm preaching an influencers church. You are meant to be an influencer, not influenced. So Jesus said there are some things that you can't take if you're going to see the kingdom of God. You can't allow them to stain you, affect you, rob you of joy, rob your life, influence your life. You need to be committed to wiping it off. Have you ever been on a walk? I used to be a runner, now I'm a walker. Most mornings of my life, I walk or swim. And there are days that you're so caught up in what's going on in the, you know, the neighborhood. And I live in this nice part of Brisbane. There's some beautiful homes and you walk around, you're looking. And every now and then you stand on a landmine. You know what I'm talking about? That can change your day. It can make you less popular if you don't wipe it off. You do whatever you need to do. And some people don't know what's going on. They just think you're a real bad dancer. But you're just doing whatever you can to get rid of it because you don't want it to be carried with you and long into your day, into your future. Now, 2020, it left a lot of stuff. It left a lot of dust on our soul. It left some dust on our thinking. And the word of the Lord, as we launch into not just a new year, but a new decade, a new season in God, where we say, you know what? I don't think political reform is the great need in our country, nor economic reform. Ultimately, we need a spiritual renewal, and the only way to do that is for the church of Jesus to rise and shine, and we need to let people know how good our God is. I'm going to bring the kingdom. Jesus said to those people, you know, when they brought reports back, he said, you know, you shake it off. They brought reports back. One of the most powerful things he said to all of his followers, he said, you know what? Wherever you went, Satan fell like lightning. Saw him fall from the sky. You know what he was saying? He said, you changed the atmosphere of towns where you went. I want to change atmospheres. I sign petitions just like you've been encouraged to today. I write to politicians. I wrote to one this week. But at the end of the day, we need to make a difference, changing lives one at a time by presenting Jesus. And we can't allow the dust, say dust, We can't allow the dust of stuff. Let me tell you, COVID-19 was a dust storm. And it's left people dusty. It's left young adults asking questions like, you know, where does the local church fit into my spiritual journey? Stop it. That's dusty. It's left people going, you know what, look, and mine, like your church, we've got online, and it's a wonderful, wonderful resource when needed. But hey, let me tell you, the church of Jesus that he had in mind, that he said would be unstoppable, was not a group of people sitting in their pajamas eating Vegemite on toast with a coffee. No. We're meant to be planted in the house, drawing from it. And let me tell you, when we're locked down and when you're unwell, thank God for it. But let's be people that actually, if we're going to be Christians, let's just be full on about it. Let's shake off the dust. Are you with me? We're going to throw it off, shake it off, wipe it off, whatever we can. But let's move into 2021 without the dust effects on our soul. So I want to give you, in the few minutes we've got tonight, I want to give you a few things that really cling to us. And we need to shake them off. Here's the first one. This is a huge one. And it's dust on your soul. It's regret. The dust of regret. You know what regret is? Failure on repeat. Replay, replay, replay. If only. How could I? Why did I? We beat ourselves up constantly, replaying those moments in our lives. We let ourselves just get down. We think about it. We replay it. That image is in our mind. Most of us that have a vehicle have backed our car into the garage door at some point in time. Thanks for letting me share my current pain. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, it's easily repaired, but we look at it. We go, why did I do that? Talking about it is not going to fix it. It happened. Acknowledge it and move on. We're humans. We have an inbuilt capacity to fail. We let ourselves down. And what we all need to do, as we launch into 2021, can I encourage you early? I love your 40 days of like that recalibration call that there is to our soul. Awesome. Can I encourage you during this 40 days? Read the book of Romans. Dive in and park, if you can, in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7. It's a great celebration of the amazing grace of God. And Paul writes, and he builds this crescendo, and we get to it in chapter 8, verse 1. He said, therefore there is now no, say no, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Here's the deal. If my God doesn't condemn me, if he's not going to beat me up, why do I keep beating myself up? God, if only, why did I? Hey, it happened. We acknowledge it. We come to him and we ask his forgiveness and we walk in grace so that we hopefully don't keep looping back to that same space again. My prayer for you is we shake off and wipe off the dust of regret. Regret is an anchor. I've had boats all my adult life. And here's one thing I've discovered. You can't get far if you leave the anchor down. I tried once. Not good. Regret is an anchor. It'll just keep you stuck in one space. Here's the second thing. We need to dust off offense. If regret stems from things we've done, offense flows from the things others have done to us. Offense is a cancer in our soul. Offense causes people to leave relationships. Offense causes people to leave church. Offense causes people to even drift away from God. Offense. I've discovered there's a real easy way to be offended in church life. Just keep turning up. It happens. We have this ability. People don't even mean to offend you. You know, one of the greatest prayers of all time is that prayer of Christ on the cross. And he said this, and it so helped me one day. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Ready for this? Because they know not what they're doing. I realized one day. We're here 2,000 years after the event and we're so judgmental on the Pharisees and all the other people. I wonder where I really would be standing on that day. Really. And many of the people that put Jesus on the cross actually thought they were doing the right thing, somehow trying to preserve pure religion. And Jesus says, listen, they don't even know what they're doing. I've discovered that not everybody that offends me is bad. They're just ignorant. They're ignorant of the day I'm having. They're ignorant of my view. So I've got to make some choices. Have a soft heart but a thick skin. I'm not offended. I'm offended. Pastor, I'm going to send the church an email. I'm offended. Get a number. Paul writes to the Ephesian church and he shows them how to deal with the dust that accumulates on every human soul, the dust of unresolved conflict. And he says this, Ephesians 4, unbelievable book, the book of Ephesians, powerful. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Remember that in tomorrow's traffic jam. I just love watching Christians in traffic jams. Praise the Lord. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun, oh, this is an important thought. Do not let the sun go down on you while you are still angry. And a lot of people stop there. Listen to how Paul keeps writing. And do not give the devil a foothold. There is some thought amongst friends of mine that we have a 24-hour window in which to deal with conflict and offense, and if we don't, we open the door to the devil. See, I'm not somebody that walks around wondering how the devil's going to get access to my soul. I don't believe he has direct access except through the windows and the doors that I leave open, and most of them swing on the hinge of unresolved conflict. Offense. And the call to you and I as we go through and move into a new season is let's just wipe it off. There are some things we'll never agree on. That's okay. See you in heaven if you make it. It's okay. See, I want to show you how you will know if you're still carrying unresolved conflict. Are you ready? These are some really important notes. And if we're going to move into a year, the year we've been singing about, man, Christians sound good when they sing. We're amazing. If only we could be the people on Monday that we sing on Sunday. Here's some thoughts. You are carrying unresolved conflict if your thinking is clouded. You see, offense and unresolved conflict is like having a virus on your computer. We don't have that problem too much in our household. We are an Apple household. God bless you. But you remember, you know, the if you didn't upgrade your security and your software and the viruses got in, and all of a sudden the computer slowed down. Remember that? And it's because some virus got in there, and it was just all the time another program running under, and it clouded and slowed everything down. When you are so caught in offense, do you know what? It can actually affect the whole way you're living. It robs you of mental energy. It's just there. It's just slow. It's just all your life is continually viewed through the lens of that offense. You're carrying unresolved conflict. You ready for this one? If the offender's name is always on your lips. It's because Jesus said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, if Josh offended me, I can pretend, hey, brother. But you know what? We're in a conversation over coffee. That Josh. It comes up. Their name screams across my mind and their face, and it's amazing. And then I struggle with the fact that God's blessing them, I go to God in prayer and say, God, don't you know what he did? And when I pray like that, it seems to me that he doesn't really care because he still blesses Josh. How can that be, God? I've discovered that God doesn't have as many favorites as we pretend he does. He wants us to work it out. He teaches me to pray. Father, oh, this is huge. Forgive me. Ready for the big word? As I forgive them. Whoa. As I move into a new season in God, I need to realize if I want to live under forgiveness, I have to live out forgiveness. I am so challenged by the teachings of Jesus, both on the Sermon on the Mount and then when we come to Matthew 18, both times he says, if you from your heart don't forgive your brother, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Ouch. So maybe I need to just deal with it. Some things we can sort out, some things we can't, and you know what? We just got to give it to Jesus and let it. It's okay. It's okay. If you don't deal with it, you have unrealistic expectations of justice. It's amazing Christians call it justice, but we really mean revenge. Oh, Lord, I'm just going to leave Josh to you. Get him. Vengeance is my, don't we sound, so righteous. We're even a little wobble in our voice. Oh, Father, your word, I remind you of your word. You said, justice is mine. Just wipe out Josh Greenwood. Hallelujah. You see, if I'm carrying this stuff, it's really sad, but I can become bitter. Made a choice in life, and here it is. I don't want to end life a bitter old man. Oh, I got lots of reasons. You just keep walking. Stuff will mess you up. People will let you down. It happens. They make promises. They don't keep them. Oh. Be healed. Was it me? It would have been Josh. Did it to me too. You know, I was walking in the yard, just a little while ago, and I got a splinter. It was only a tiny piece of wood in here. It's amazing. If you leave something in the body that's not meant to be there, it actually creates a whole lot of poison. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because the worst thing is you actually leave an opportunity for an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy the opportunity to get into our life. We want blessing. We want life. We want influence in our generation. Then we need to shut the door. How do we shut it? We choose to forgive through the act of God's grace, our walking our faith practically, and dust it off. Sorry. It's not clinging to me. Here's another one. This is huge. Unhealthy thinking. I had lunch with a young adult late last year, and I said to them, and I watched them go into a dark place and slowly come back into a good place in their faith. And I said, what happened to you? This is what he said. I had the wrong conversations between my ears. I actually think that there's a whole challenge, massive challenge, to those of us that are followers of Jesus. And here it is. To live constantly with the Word of God and the Spirit of God renewing our mind. You know, they say to us a lot, he's got a good heart. I've learned that's not a compliment. See, because with the heart we believe for salvation. With the heart we believe, but with the head we behave. And some of us have got a heart that's believing and it'll get us to heaven, but we're living like hell. Because we need to be renewed. Listen to what Paul writes. Again, I love what he's thinking is on this. Romans 12, verse 2. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. That's a massive challenge. I preached this morning out of Genesis 26 when God said to Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go into another culture that's different to your kingdom, mindsets and behaviors. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed. Say it. Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and His pleasing and perfect will for your life. Hey, it all happens by saying, I'm actually not going to think that. I've learned that one of the spiritual disciplines in my life is my confession. There are some things I have to say out loud. Not only declaring the promises of God, but declaring the things I'm going to wipe off. I say out loud, no, I'm not thinking that. When stuff starts to consume me and get me down and fearful, and yesterday I spent hours just managing stuff where the media is wanting to beat the church up again, and I have to say out loud, real loud, my family's around, I say, it matters, but not that much, and I'm not giving the enemy permission to come and pollute my mind. No. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And oh, the dust. That's why some of us need to, during these 40 days of complete spiritual renewal and recalibration, say, I'm actually going to completely recalibrate how I do life. I'm not going to wake up and spend the first 15 minutes on social media. I'm going to spend the first 15 minutes in the Word of God. If you're having a dark, dusty day and you spent the first half an hour in social media and then watching the news and go, I don't know why I'm feeling down. I do. Duh. It's not hard. Hey, this is not rocket surgery. You've got to get... That was funny. You've got to get into the presence of God. You've got to allow Him to renew your mind. Oh. Dust it off. Here's number four. We're not going to get to the whole list, but let me give me a couple more. Wrong influences. That's not this church. There's no R in it. Pastor, wrong influences. King David is one of my favorites in the Bible, and I love what Scripture says of him, and it celebrates the fact that he served his generation according to the will of God. And when they make statements like that, I like to find out what was the platform of their life? What was their philosophy? What was their worldview? And I went to Psalm 101, and it was so clear. You could see the things that he said, these things I'm going to do, these things I'm not going to do. In verse 3, he says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. Some versions say the faithless ones shall not what? Cling to me. It shall not cling to me. He said, I'm choosing not to be influenced by the behavior of people who have no faith. I'm not going to spend my life hanging with people who just want to criticize the church. I'm not going to hang around those bloggers. Oh, yes, I went to church once. Just want your money. They just want your money. King David said, he didn't say I hate the people. He said, but I hate what they do. So I'm not going to influence them. I've made a choice in life. If there are some people that I actually can't influence for the better, it's better that I don't allow them to influence me for the worse. So I'm actually just going to spend a little time taking a bit of a step back and going to dust off their influence. Because I've discovered, young men and women, listen to this. You tell me the names of your five best friends and I'll tell you what you'll be like 5 years from now. That's why the challenge of this church to get into life-giving small groups is so important. That people will be praying for you and encouraging you and cheering you on. And that they'll watch you when you start to drift away and get into dusty spaces. They'll bring you back. Get around what you want to become. Get away from the stuff that gets you dusty. Where you start to act a little carnal, where your faith just becomes a little lukewarm. Get away from that stuff. Life's too short. I just had another birthday. I've actually reached a point where I'm turning the speedo backwards. And it went like that. I was at Youth Alive this week. They had a little leaders gathering in my church. Mark Evans preached brilliantly there. I used to be in Youth Alive. I had black hair. It was yesterday. Life goes fast. Life's too short to get around wrong influences. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to be aggressive. I'm just going to dust off their effect and get into places that are going to help me thrive in life. That's the kingdom way. It's the kingdom way. Here's one more, and then the team can come and join me. Here's something that I think has been a real issue for a lot of people this past 12 months. And we're going to move forward, and we're not going to carry the dust of heaviness, emotional heaviness, spiritual heaviness, that emotional dark cloud that robs us of joy, of peace, and of hope. So we've got to take some deliberate action. And this one, to be honest, can be hard to get rid of. I've spoken to people who are still even, you know, at this point in human history, at this point after the 12 months that we've been through, are still battling this stuff. And it's a big deal. But we can actually take some deliberate action. The Bible actually shows us how to shake it off. And here's how it is. We actually make choices not just to shake it off, but we make choices of replacing that weighty thing with the garment of praise. I'm going to read you a verse here in Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus quoted it in Luke 4 when he began to publicly declare his ministry was launched. And he quoted from this great book of the prophet Isaiah. He says in verse 3 of 61, he says, "The work of the Holy Spirit is to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for what? The spirit of heaviness, so that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." People look and say, there's something different about you. What is it? You're not carrying that, woe is us, oh, that's how it's tough. And I sat on a plane today when they talked about the fact that 1,200 Qantas airline stewards were made redundant today, right now. I get it. There's been stuff going on, and some of us can just live in this holy bubble. Let me tell you, there's some tough stuff going on planet Earth. But we can't be caught in the spirit of it. We've got to be light. Can I tell you something? The reason there's darkness in the earth is it's an absence of light. One of the missions of our church is, I said, why don't we be people that actually start a revolution of kindness? One act of kindness every day. Let's find it. Find a way. I was on a car ferry on holidays. Went to a remote part off Noosa. It was awesome. All my family, my kids, grandkids were there. Got on this ferry, and it's cash only. Big ferryman called Bob, $8. Got on, and this young couple, pair of millennials, parked beside me. I love them. And then Bob comes along, $8 I paid. He looks at them, and she pulls out a credit card. "No credit cards on this one, love. Cash only, $8. I said, "But we haven't got it." He said, "Then you're backing up. It's the first week of January. There are people everywhere." And I just said, "I'll pay." She said, "No, you can't." I said, "Yes, I can." They had New South Wales plates on. They needed loving. I said, "I'll pay." And he looks at me and says, "That's 16. I didn't notice they were towing a jet ski. That's okay." I just looked at him and said, "Welcome to Queensland and God bless." Now, I have no idea. I have no idea whether I'll ever meet them again. No idea. No idea if they somehow, somebody tells them about a church and this gray-haired bloke that leads it. I don't know, maybe never, ever, ever. All I know is I've just got to do what I can be to be light, to live life with a different spirit. I can't live life, "Oh, it's hard. No, it's, oh, I'm offended. No, 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 no. I'm dusting it off. I'm shaking it off. I'm throwing it off. And instead of carrying this heavy weight, I'm going to, like you chose what you'd wear into this building tonight. Every day you make a choice about what you put on. Choose every morning to put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. And what that will do, it'll send you off the problem and onto the answer. And when I look to him, he's the author and finisher of my faith. And anything can happen because faith takes me to the miracle zone."
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. that even before you knew about him, he loved you. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed his love. So he sent his son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, he said, I will take their place. So he died and rose again so that his death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and his life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good and loves you. He's a father, he's a friend, and you can invite him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe he's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.